Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The Staff and Graph Podcast.
This is weird. My lock's been drilled, so I open the door and my steering wheel is missing.
In links or salad.
You know what? You're trying very hard not to get sued.
You can have all the talent in the world skating around, but if you don't have a goaltender, it does not matter.
Team Tidy Business, baby. You know, Rachel, somewhere, I don't know where, probably in Southern Ontario, as where we are right now, somewhere James Duthie is staring out over a vast sea of nothing, questioning what his choices of his career that leads up to this point. Because we had another trade, a pre-deadline trade. Every time a pre-deadline trade happens, I think, James Duthie, my heart goes out to you, because you have to host 6-7 hours of just basically straight live television, all predicated on there being trades. And one of the biggest names came off the board yesterday, and boy oh boy, that makes makes an already weird deadline day, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, even weirder.
Yeah, Chris Tanev went to Dallas.
In an incredible trade, and we'll break that down, yeah, obviously.
Very underwhelming. And turns out Kevin Weeks confirmed my suspicions, which was that if he was being traded to Toronto or Vancouver, that the price was higher. There's a Bradtree Living / Vancouver Canucks tax, which is incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
But that also, I don't want to put that on Craig Conroy. I think that comes from Murray Edwards. Like,
yeah.
When stuff like that happens, when there's a tax, it's never GM driven. Almost never GM driven. It's almost always owner driven.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced that. Like, in Vancouver, it's not a secret, long before I even got there, that like they don't make trades with Dallas because Aquilini and Gagliardi hate each other.
I did not know that. Interesting.
Oh my God. Hate each other.
Why?
Business dealings.
Oh, okay. Because I'm saying they never, like,
nothing to do with hockey. They had a disagreement in business from what I know. And there's like, unless someone's getting fleeced, there's never any trades between.
What was the last, was it, that wasn't even a trade when they got Louis Erickson, but that was just a signing.
Yeah.
What was the last?
I don't think there has been one in time. It's
like Aaron Rome, maybe? Like, that's what I'm trying to think. Like, yeah. Wow, you're right. That's
so crazy.
And obviously last year in Calgary, just across the board, did not go great. And Tree Living, like, they mutually parted ways. Like, it wasn't like a firing. I think he was fed up. I think Edwards was fed up.
I have a theory that Murray Edwards is angry that Bradtree, with the Matthew Tkachuk, Jonathan Huberdeau situation. But at the end of the day, if you're in Bradtree Living's shoes,
you had to make that trade.
You can't lose him for nothing. Mm-hmm. You got Mackenzie Weegar and Cole Schwinn, and you did get Jonathan Huberdeau, and he's starting to find his game.
Yeah, but I mean,
but it's still okay. That contract is bad, but I think you and I can agree that getting those players was better than losing Matt Tkachuk for nothing.
I don't want us to start talking about Jonathan Huberdeau the way that Habs fans were talking about Slafkovský earlier.
No.
You know,
it was bad.
It's still pretty bad.
Taking a tax and saying you're not allowed to trade with Bradtree Living, like, as
why
an
limit
owner,
your options?
You're a petulant child.
I know you want to be petty. Like, there are definitely people. If I was in a situation where, you know, I had something that, if I had something that a former employer of mine wanted, you better believe I'd be putting a tax on that. But I'm also not. Like, but I also know that if there were like millions of dollars involved and it's
a Stanley Cup,
and it's a Stanley Cup and all that, like, you might want to put bygones aside and just start to just kind of go, okay, like, maybe this will be good for us in the long term. Now,
right. Your job is to get the best return to put your team in the best position to succeed. So the return for Chris Tanev is.
Yes. So it's an incredible return. So it's a 2024 second rounder.
Okay.
Which is this year's draft.
Yep.
It's also a conditional 2026 third rounder and prospect Artem Grushnikov.
Artem Grushnikov fits the Calgary Flames
system or timeline?
Archetype.
Okay.
Very well. He is a nasty, nasty piece of
big
business
guy.
On the back end.
Yeah.
He's big. Like, he is, when you think Battle of Alberta,
yeah,
he's Battle of Alberta. So I think the Flames were more after an archetype of player rather than the best prospect, because there were other prospects that I had heard were sort of being included in discussions.
Were bandied about.
That are better. But yeah. Grushnikov is different. And so I think that's probably why Calgary coveted him.
Now, this is how the actual trade went down. Because we talked about how it was a three-way trade. Now this is some we're gonna bring it back, folks. Tidy ass business by Jim Neal here. Like some fucking tidy business. So what happened is basically the first trade that occurred wasn't actually. Did you know? And I hope to hang a banner for it. Chris Tanev was a New Jersey Devil for a hot second. So the New Jersey,
because they have a ton of cap space.
They do, and they weaponize it. So the Devils, what they did is they traded prospect goaltending prospect Cole Brady to the Flames in exchange for Chris Tanev. The trade was one for one, incredible. And also Calgary retained 50% of Tanev's contract. Now the Devils then took Chris Tanev, traded him to the Dallas Stars in exchange for Dallas's own fourth round selection in 2026. And in doing so, the Devils then retained 50% of that 50%.
So Dallas got Chris Tanev at 25% of his
salary. Dallas got Chris Tanev. And so at the end of the day, the Calgary Flames then traded Cole Brady to the Dallas Stars, the guy who they got for Chris Tanev straight up to the Dallas Stars, exchange for Artem Grushnikov, Dallas's own second round pick in 2024, and a conditional third round selection in 2026. Now, here's the thing, too, is that the condition on that 2026 third is that it just doesn't usually a condition like that is it upgrades to such and such pick if such and such happens. No, the condition is if Dallas makes the cup final, then the Flames get that pick. If they don't, then the pick ceases to exist.
Calgary keeps the pick Dallas keeps. The
so pick. Basically, Chris Tanev was traded for a second round pick. And a B-minus prospect? B-minus prospect?
C.
C? I don't know. A C prospect.
C prospect, yeah.
Now, I can tell you
he was like the fourth best Devils goaltending prospect. That's where we're at there. So I think it's a very underwhelming return.
Incredibly underwhelming based on
That is what sets the market.
So there are a lot of other GMs right now. And I can tell you this with pretty strict certainty. There are a lot of other GMs right now who are furious at Craig Conroy because, you know, just asking around myself, this was a weird deadline because never before, and I think the Florida Panthers are responsible for this, for what they did last year, is never before have there been more teams that are either slightly out of the playoff picture or slightly in the playoff picture, but maybe don't have the ceiling to go for it.
Now is UC Soros has been taken off the market completely because
so is Marc-Andre Fleury.
Right.
Because maybe. This is nuts. So there are a lot of teams there's basically a dearth. Dearth is lack, right? There's a dearth.
No, dearth is.
Okay. So there is a lack of just clear cut sellers. I can tell you Calgary,
there's
Montreal.
More demand than there is supply.
Exactly. It's like Calgary, Montreal,
Columbus.
Arizona, Columbus.
Anaheim, San Jose.
And San Jose. But you would think that guys who are either maybe in the playoff picture or just on the outside of it, guys like St. Louis, Washington,
Ottawa.
Philly, Ottawa, guys, teams
Philly's
like that.
Philly's going to be a seller.
Philly will likely, but they're still, we'll see.
They're the only ones making smart decisions right now.
And we'll see. But that was essentially jacking up the asking prices for the guys who were actually being offered by the very small amount of sellers. That's
why Flames were supposed to be the market setter.
Exactly.
And everyone was waiting. Why haven't we seen trades? I got asked on the radio earlier this week. Why haven't we seen trades? Because everyone was waiting for Calgary, Hanifin, Tanev, whatever. I'll be interested to see what Hanifin fetches and what the delta is between them, because I think that's where you'll start to see it. But I don't for defensive defensemen that are right-handed and penalty kill, Tanev was the best guy available.
Yeah. But that's why, like, basically all of that, what I just said, is that's why we're getting reports that Arizona was looking for a first for Matt Dumba. You know, guys like that. You know, that the Flames or the Flyers are looking for a first for Sean Walker. You know, things like that. That's not going to happen anymore. Because
it shouldn't.
Well, it shouldn't have in the first place. But, you know, there's more demand than there is supply.
And yeah, so, but generally that jacks up the prices. But the problem is when you sell something, when there is high demand, but then you sell it at a discount, everyone else goes, well, why the hell would I pay?
Exactly. And so that's why GMs are furious at Craig Conroy right now.
And for all taking, the contending GMs are like, well done.
They're like, thank you. But yeah, like we're going to go through the defense market, basically heading into the trade deadline, which is a little over a week away at this point. But no, this is an incredible trade. Like
intricate.
It's intricate, but also, I mean, what Dallas was able to pull off here, get the guy who is basically the missing piece that they need for no active roster pieces.
It allows them to split Haskinen and Harley now. Mm-hmm. So you can go Haskinen, Tanev, Harley, and what, either Lindell or Suter, because Lindell's having a really good year.
Yeah, he is.
So, and then you could put Suter on your third pair, let's say. Like,
and we saw him in the playoffs, maybe a sheltered third pair Suter is the best kind of Suter at this point.
Exactly. This is incredible, absolutely trade. Fantastic yeah. stuff, right? Jake Ottinger's kind of refining his game. Logan Stankoven, to the surprise of absolutely nobody with a brain.
Fellow Short King, what's up?
Comes out and has been amazing for
You know what's great too? Stars. You know what's great too with the Stars? And this is why Jim Nill should be up there for Executive of the Year. I think this is the thing that launches him into the stratosphere in that award, or at least to the front of the awards race this year, is that they have, first of all, they kept their own first.
Yep.
Like they still have their own first. But also if you look at it, Stankoven, Wyatt Johnson, Jake Ottinger, Jason Robertson,
Rupe Hintz,
and
they still
I think
have Maverick Bourque waiting in the
Maverick
wings.
Bourque, but like all of those guys, all of them were picked 23rd or below. Yeah. Majority of those guys, except for Ottinger,
Bourque and Johnston
were second round picks or below.
Yeah.
Like so, this is an organization that can find value in the lower picks in the lower rounds. They even still have their first. It will likely not be a high one this year because so
whoever is in charge of scouting in Dallas deserves a raise. That
who is in charge? Who is their director of scouting?
I know who their director of player personnel is. That's Steve Greeley. And so it's not a shock that every time a GM position comes up, his name gets mentioned because he's the guy that oversees all of this. So that seems to be like a smart individual.
Yeah. Yeah. It's look, Steve Greeley at this point is like this generation's Mike Fiuta, where he was just always thrown into GM. Anytime there was a GM job that came up.
I don't even think Greels wants to be
a GM. No, there's a lot of guys. We talked about this before.
Steve Pellegrini doesn't want to be a GM. He's happy being a cap dude.
We talked about this, I think on a podcast, maybe last week, that they're after Columbus fired their, after Columbus fired Yarmo, is that there are a lot of guys in front offices who are just kind of happy being the expert at what they are and don't want the pressure of leading the entire ship.
Right. Or maybe they just feel like this is how they can best help a team. Like mm-hmm. I think Steve Pellegrini, a lot of cap guys, Jeff Solomon in Anaheim is another guy. Steve Pellegrini, of course, Brandon Pridham. We don't know yet what he wants to do, but there's a ton of examples and maybe that's exactly what Steve Greeley wants, where he's like, I don't necessarily want to be a GM. I just want to stay and do what I'm really good at and not kind of step outside of that. And that's totally fine. So we've covered Chris Tanev. We're going to have a fun little story here, and then we're going to really dive deep into the defenseman market. So, Mike.
Yeah.
Earlier this week,
mm-hmm.
Annie Montoya and Lauren Ellerbe.
Al Montoya and Keaton Ellerbe's beaux, if you will.
The brains of the operation in that family,
mm-hmm.
Started a company that basically handles all of the logistics when a player is traded.
This is awesome. So this was written in The Athletic by Ian Mendez. Shout out. It's a great piece. Basically, I thought it was fun to bring up because, you know, we love our girl bosses on this podcast, you know, but what's happening essentially is that when a player, and you know this very intimately as well, is like when a player gets traded, there's a lot that goes. It's not just a sense of, you know, this guy's moving. There's a lot that goes into it.
When Chris Tanev gets traded.
Yeah. So right now, like, Chris Tanev's married. Like, he's got a, I believe so. He's got
He's got kids, and Winnipeg plays Dallas tonight.
Yeah. So he has to, in Dallas or in Winnipeg?
I'm not entirely sure.
Okay. Well, basically, last night he gets the call. Within, I would say, like, 8 hours or something, he has to be, like, on a plane to wherever he is.
Yeah, so what happens is the team travel, like, logistics coordinator calls you, introduces themselves, and they're like, okay, send me all your passport stuff, send me everything. If there's visa stuff, that is, there's somebody else that handles that. But if Dallas is playing in Winnipeg, he can play.
Mm-hmm.
But he is Canadian, so there might be a work visa situation. He may not be able to play tonight if the game is in Dallas. But basically what happens is that guy gets on the line, you give him all your stuff, and he's like, I'm going to get you out on the next flight that we can get you out on, pending visa. We'll get you everything you need. And then what number do you want? What this? What that? Yeah. What's your sizing? Usually guys just throw on pant covers.
Yes.
They get new gloves, but their sticks come with them. Pretty much everything that isn't showing goes with them, right? Obviously, the team will have, like, helmets and stuff like that. But the logistics side of it is, like, team takes care of everything in terms of booking the flight, but not for the family, not the rent or the houses, not the cars, not anything like that.
So a big thing here is and it also has to happen really fast. Like you said, like, I even think—
within 20 minutes of the trade call happening, you're—
you're figuring out stuff, basically. And I even think about it, like, Ryan O'Reilly and Noel Achari got traded, I believe it was like 11:30 at night, Toronto time, last year, right around the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So from St. Louis. And they arrived in Toronto. I saw them arrive because I was like one of the last to leave morning skate that morning. And I saw them walk in and meet everybody. And they arrived at, I believe it was like 11 to 11:30
and
Toronto
it's a
time,
three
and they,
hour or two and
a
half
played
hour flight
that
from
night.
St. Louis.
And they played that night. Like, things happen quick. So if you have a wife, kids, a pet, a house, potentially a mortgage on that house, or maybe not, but, like, you have utilities. Like, so a big thing is what Annie Montoya and Lauren Ellerby do is they take that, this company is called Pro Relo, and it takes that emphasis off of the basically the wives or the partners.
Or at least helps them out.
Yes. Yeah. So what they do is there was a big thing with their first client was Zach Bogosian's family. Bogosian got traded this year from Tampa to Minnesota. They literally got that trade call. In the article, it says when Bogosian and his wife were waiting to pick up their kids at, like, a Tampa elementary school or daycare or whatever. And so they had to go, all right, well, Zach, you have to get all your stuff together, pack a bag of essentials, get all your equipment, go on a plane, whatever. We're left with, okay, what do? We have utilities that we have to cancel on this house. We have to make sure this house goes on the market. We have perishable foods in our fridge and in our cabinets. You know, we have a dog.
We have children in school,
but we have a dog. Like, we have a German Shepherd. We have to figure out how to get there. We have two cars.
Yeah.
We have to figure out how to ship those. There's a lot that falls on the partners.
And depending on what team you are, like, when I was in New Jersey, there was this lady, her name is Marie. She is widely considered to be one of the, if not the best, team admin. Like, she had my visa and think I'm not an NHL player. I'm just I was a schmuck at the time, 21 years old.
Remains to be seen.
She had immigration in the office waiting for me when I arrived in New Jersey. She's that good. Like,
wow.
I've never seen a visa process happen that quickly for a non-athlete. Like, it was, my cousin is currently trying to get a US visa, has been waiting 2.5 years.
Wow.
I got mine in like 36 hours. It was insane. So there are some teams, and what, like, I remember when Blake Coleman was moving back to Dallas after the end of the season, she organized having his pickup truck shipped there and shipped back at the beginning of the next season. So depending on what team you're playing for and, like, what staff they have and how experienced they are, you can get some help, but not this kind of help.
Yeah. And so this is basically to take that load off of, it's all specialized, like, you know, one person's there in the house basically going through like a pantry or clothing, be like, keep, don't keep. Okay, boom. Like, and while the other person's processing the fact that they have to basically pick up all their roots, move them to a new place, probably dealing with kids, and the other person's on the phone dealing with, so I guess, I think it was Ellerby's the one who's on the phone dealing with the, you know, the gas company, the electric company, or the hydro company, whatever you want to call it, you know, a realtor to put the house back on the market, stuff like that. It's great. And they're working with the NHLPA to become a preferred vendor, which means that players will get them at like a significant discount, which is great. And also, what's also great about it is that teams are expected to, in the collective bargaining agreement, basically reimburse players who get traded for any reasonable expenses that are required with that. So a lot of this can be reimbursed by teams, and if it can't,
it's a tax write-off.
Exactly. But they actually deal with, and they say in the article, they deal, when it comes to any payment, they deal with teams. They don't deal with the actual family, because the team is supposed to reimburse everything like that. So it even takes the hassle of like, it even takes the hassle of having to submit like receipts and invoices to a team, and then they go, oh, maybe this, oh, they have to go through it. Like, that's all on them. It's great. And the trade deadline, like, I think this trade deadline,
they're
depending on what happens,
busy.
They're going to be busy. So that's, it's just cool. Wanted to give a highlight to that, because it's an aspect of the game and an aspect of, I guess, sort of the industry that we never think of. And I'm surprised something like this hasn't happened sooner.
Right. Because you look at it and, from a fan perspective, like, oh, why isn't this guy here already? Why in this? Because he's a human being.
Well, there's stuff that we have to figure out.
Yeah, there's things that you got to figure out.
Well, like, usually guys are there very quickly after a trade. Like, very rarely do we go, like, why isn't this guy not here? If it's not, unless it's...
Or it's like, why isn't this guy playing well right after a trade?
Exactly.
I don't know, because he's got 75 things going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. This helps with a lot of that. Takes it off...
It's a fantastic idea. You love to see it. And leave it to the women, because they... Like, Keaton Ellerby and Al Montoya were traded quite a few times
in their career.
Or waived, or whatever the case may be. So leave it to these two to be like, excuse me, we... Like, this sucks, and we need to help out other, like, partners.
Yeah.
Because... This is crazy.
I think it was said that Al Montoya was traded 6 times during his career, and that didn't include like AHL demotions.
Right.
So I think there were like 3 different AHL teams he also played for that like include that. That's a lot of moving around. So at this point, because what basically happened
is experts.
Yeah. They were like, well, we're basically moving experts. Like these two met when they were both their husbands were playing on the Jets, and they've kept in touch. And I think that's great.
I still talk to almost 70% of the women I met when I wasn't dating an athlete. I was dating a staff member, but like, you're all at the same parties and everything.
You're there.
I'm going to brunch with one of them on the weekend.
Yeah.
Actually, two of them.
So it's, yeah, there's just a lot of things. The biggest thing I saw from this is that I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. I'm surprised no one thought of it sooner, but anyway, that's something cool to look out for, but who knows? They could be revolutionizing this industry. Thought it was cool to bring it up. Now, Rachel, we're going to head into our Cantork deep dive on the defense market heading into the trade deadline. Cantork makes rugged, hardworking industrial torque tools for heavy equipment operators around the world. They are proudly Canadian and manufacture everything out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, the city of champions for heavy industry around the world. Their new website tells their story, 20 years in the making. Visit cantork.com today and ask Colin for more details. Rachel.
Yes. We're talking about the defenseman market.
There are
specifically
not,
the right-handed defenseman.
Yes, there
market.
Are a lot of right-handed defensemen. That's the most coveted. I would say, other than like a top line center, this is a right shot defenseman. Could be from in any pairing. Really, is the most coveted asset in the league. There are a lot that seem to be available. However, because of the lack of just bona fide sellers here. Bit of a dwindling list, at least. It drops off pretty heavily after the first name. So let's go through them. Let's talk about...
And he isn't even right-handed.
Exactly. So let's go through them. Let's talk about, you know, what they're doing, what they can achieve for a new team that picks them up, what they could cost. And let's start with Noah Hanifin, the bell of the ball here. He's 27 years old, 11 goals, 23 assists, 34 points in around 50 games this year. Averages almost 24 minutes of ice time per night, so he's a legit workhorse. He's a pending UFA, making $4.95 million. Where do we see him going?
Yeah, so this is a legitimate top four defenseman.
Yeah.
He's, for those of you who don't know what game score is, it's something that Dom Luszczyszyn developed. It was in basketball, used in basketball, and basically it measures overall impact on the game. So it takes into account block shots and if you're a center, like face-offs and penalties drawn and penalties taken, shots for, your expected goals. It's all encompassing. It's just kind of like a one-stop shop kind of thing. He's 0.81 game score per game. That is a, like, that's high-end level, right? I mean,
try to contextualize it. Like,
so Cale Makar is like 1.1.
Okay. Wow, that's pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you're, I believe the cutoff is if you're like 0.6, I want to say, you're a top four defenseman. He's like 0.81. You were verging on like top pairing here.
Yeah. So based on this, there are only, I believe, two top four defensemen.
Awesome.
On the market here.
So yeah, he's left-handed, but he plays both sides.
Yes.
He's better on his left. I mean, any defenseman is better on their...
Yes.
TJ Brody.
Even TJ Brody, like, who played years on his right and earned a four-year contract on his right, he's better on his left.
Right. And so, Noah Hanifin, he's a fantastic age, 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the prime of his career, because he's versatile, because he can defend appropriately, he can also contribute offensively.
Yeah.
This is the best player available on the market.
Just not even defenseman, just player.
Player.
Think? Interesting.
I think, I mean, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that's a pending UFA that would be a better, more impactful because he's a defenseman.
Adam Henrique?
No, Noah Hanifin still for me. And so I think when you look at Noah Hanifin, the price for him should be appropriately high. The problem that you have is, I think if you're Calgary, you'd be smart to allow Hanifin's agents to negotiate.
Absolutely.
Right. So Elliot Friedman has reported that like Tampa and Dallas and New Jersey.
Not anymore with Dallas, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Preferred destinations. Boston, the other one, he's, I believe he's.
He went to Harvard.
Yeah. I also think he is a Boston area kid, if I'm not mistaken. And so when you look at what the potential impacts could be there, if you allow them to negotiate and a contract could be worked out, you are getting a bigger package. But
he was born in Boston.
Yeah. Okay. So if you can get a bigger package, I think you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would.
That's what
be
she said. Okay.
Very hesitant to give up my best prospect. I think you're going to have to give up a first round pick no matter what.
Oh yeah.
But I'm not giving up my best prospect and a first round pick and a roster player,
mm-hmm.
like a Yegor Sharangovich type.
For at least if there's not an extension
involved. Extension in place.
Yeah.
If there's an extension in place, we're having an entirely different conversation. And so, like, I think if you're looking at Boston, a guy I might look at is Jake DeBrusque.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could be somebody that's involved. They're a little bit thinner prospect-wise, but they've got some young or, like, similar-aged players.
There have been discussions I've seen and rumblings that I've heard about Matt Grizzlick.
That could make some sense.
Because they haven't been able to get a... I believe, I actually think I saw it even today as well. Fluto Shinzawa of The Athletic, I think, reported that he's kind of feeling the heat around the deadline because there's been a noted lack of progress on extension between the Bruins and Grizzlick.
That could be somebody that, yeah, if you went Grizzlick and something, I think that's probably decent value because Grizzly can absolutely play like immediately in the lineup. Like that's a great, there could be something there, but I think Hanifin is absolutely and should cost the most at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. He is far and away the best defenseman available. It is not close.
Yeah.
I don't care what way he shoots.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell me we can give you a bottom pairing right-handed defenseman or you can have a top four left-handed defenseman, I'm taking the better hockey player. And if you're not, you're an idiot.
Yeah. You know who the Kings never should have traded?
Whomst?
Sean Walker.
Had to trade him to get rid of Cal Peterson.
Which is that is a good subtraction considering Cal Peterson just got sent down again this morning. But Sean Walker, another guy in the market, he's 29. Less offensive punch than Noah Hanifin. He's got 6 goals, 16 assists, 22 points this season, but he is averaging almost 20 minutes of ice time per night. He's a pending UFA at 2.65 mil. He's 29, like I said, and he's playing very good hockey.
So I think we need to mention, we're going to bring Nick Seeler in here because there are rumors that teams want them as a pair. Dallas was one of them.
Yeah, not anymore.
I think New Jersey is another one.
Yeah.
Because boy howdy, is that defense core in rough shape right now without Dougie Hamilton?
And I know I can tell you, insider
Siegenthaler Marino has been like they've cratered this
yeah
year.
And like what
bad.
Happened man Marino was incredible and like I know the Leafs have gone hard at Sean Walker. I know like
oh and they like Nick Seeler too.
They like Nick Seeler, so maybe they want to bring them in as a pair. I'm not sure how that would fit really with what yeah. they're doing right now, but they've really liked Sean Walker. Like I even pretty much since the first day of training camp, the Leafs have, and literally from the first day of training camp, the Leafs have been going after pretty much every defenseman on the market. That's why you hear them always in discussions for everyone from, you know, the Hanifins and Zadorovs and Tanevs to like the friggin' Ristolainens. They're just inquiring about everybody. They're just inquiring about everybody. Okay. Like just relax. But I do know that Sean Walker is someone that they really do covet, and the Flyers are holding firm, as they're doing with a lot of their players like Scott Laughton. They're holding firm on a first round pick. But Craig Conroy, Craig Conroy last night really put a dent in that in holding the fort there.
Now, I think here what I will say, okay. and the reason I brought up Nick Seeler.
What will you say, Rachel?
Is if you're getting both. Yes, a first round pick.
Yeah, if you're getting
because them, you're getting both.
If you're getting them packaged together,
I'm not paying a first round pick for either of them. And Nick Seeler leads the league in blocked shots. Like
that's great, but like blocked.
No, but that's I'm saying like at playoff time.
Yeah, that's
penalty
really good.
Killing really tough to play against. Mm-hmm. Like him and Walker have actually formed a great pairing. Just in talking to people around Philly, those are two guys where like they're constantly setting the example of how to play appropriately in the mm-hmm. defensive zone, and I think. They're a big reason why Philadelphia has had an uptick this year is because their defensive play has been so stellar. Like Travis Sanheim hasn't been particularly great for Philly this year defensively.
Defensively, yeah.
Yeah, offensively different. But Nick Seeler and Sean Walker have been. So I think if you're getting them together, you're probably giving up two pretty decent assets. Yes.
Also, the fact that Walker's making, and I know this is through the end of the season, so they're all prorated, but it's important when every cent counts with all these teams are up at the upper limit of the cap.
When you're within a junior chicken of the salary
exactly.
cap, it matters.
And that's just an indictment on the fact that how much junior chickens cost these days, because back in my day, they were $1.39. Now they are $3.30.
Man, when I lived in the U.S., they were 75 cents.
I will kill somebody. but they, Sean Walker makes 2.65 and Nick Seeler makes 775K. Together, that's $3 million
on both of them.
Yeah, then you're getting these two guys for like $1.75 million to combined.
Right.
For like
you can send something the other way for that. Like you're
sending a first round pick and like
a decent probably a B prospect.
Like a B prospect and maybe like a third on top of that. Like I think based on the
prices.
No,
you'd have to send some money back. Most of these contenders would have to send some money back. So you're probably sending
you're
a bottom
though?
End roster player. No, even them, because bringing 1.5 in sometimes is just it can't be done.
No, I know.
1.75. So you're probably sending back
like a bad contract.
No, not even. Like you could send back like a younger ish roster player that's on an ELC mm-hmm. is what I'm getting at there. So Sean Walker on his own, not worth a first. Nick Seeler on his own, definitely not worth a first. Together, worth a first.
Exactly.
So I think there's, yeah, the Chris Tanev, like now every GM can basically say, because Philly's made it known that they might want to negotiate with these two. If I'm Danny Briere and I don't get what I want, I don't necessarily think there's a harm in keeping them.
No, definitely not. I mean, you can potentially re-sign them.
Right. Like, and all three Philadelphia defensemen yeah. that we're talking about mm-hmm. have positive impacts now,
which is
hang
crazy,
on.
Which is crazy to think for the third one.
Rasmus Ristolainen, I did some digging. He is a positive impact player when and only when
okay.
he is on the third pair.
Okay, so I guess let's
when
just
he is in the top four. It is a hot mess.
Okay, so we'll just jump to Rasmus Ristolainen then. He's only played 31 games this year. He's got one goal, three assists, 4 points. He's averaging 16.
And he's out of the lineup right now.
He's out of the lineup right now.
Can't be traded right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
no, like he's no team is going to pay traded. What Philly wants, yes. not knowing if he's going to play for them.
Exactly. Although we point out that, you know, guys like, for example, Riley Nash was traded to the Leafs while on LTIR. Gustav Nyquist was traded on LTIR last year. It can happen, but it definitely
but
diminishes the price.
But you're not giving up assets.
Definitely diminishes the price.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got three more. The thing about his deal is he's basically a third pairing defenseman if you want to get real positive impacts out of him. And even then, he's 0.34 game score per game. So that's like...
It's bottom pairing.
It's bottom pairing. He also only averages 16.41 of ice time and gives you basically no offense. But he's got 3 more years at 5.1 mil.
It's going to be a no.
So if you're able to trade that guy at all, that's a win. It's not even like, I wonder what teams
and
will give up.
And any team who thinks that they're acquiring a second pair defenseman
is wrong.
Immediately dismissed your GM.
Yeah.
Like, immediately dismissed. Because he has shown Rasmus Ristolainen can play third pairing minutes.
Yeah.
What is the rule for bottom six forwards and bottom pairing defensemen? No term, no money.
Yeah.
He is all the term, all the money. This is bad.
Ristolainen, he's basically, what, replacement level at this point? Like, you could...
Yes.
Yeah.
When he's bad, he's below replacement level. When he's good, he's...
Roughly...
Appropriate.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That's good. Uh-oh.
There it goes.
The second straight episode, if you can't see that on audio. And now the stick's going. I just want to see this collapse.
We're just
going
to watch this happen right now.
Just tumble. Here it goes.
I'm realizing that's a $10,000 frame right beside it.
Here it
so
goes.
That's good. Morgan Riley's game used goal stick. Bang!
And it's fine. Yeah, there we go. Every episode, our studio
breaks,
crumbles beneath our fingers. All right. Speaking of crumbling beneath our fingers, Rasmus Ristolainen's trade value, because at this point, there's no way. Just put it anywhere. Literally, I don't care. Just drop it. There we go. If the Flyers are able to get out from this guy, because another team, they're not trading for Rasmus Ristolainen. They're trading for an archetype of a player, a big, lanky dude who they think can disrupt the cycle or disrupt the rush. And it doesn't work that way. But
And is mean. And right-handed.
Yeah. good for everyone involved. All right. Matt Dumba. Here's the thing about Matt Dumba. Well, he's 29. He's got 4 goals, 5 assists, 9 points so far this season.
Boy, howdy, are some teams happy they didn't give him a long-term contract in the summer, eh?
Oh, yeah. And they are, and he's averaging just a little above, literally 4 seconds above 20 minutes of ice time per night. 2 things about Matt Dumba. 1, I don't think he's as bad as he's looked this season, both eye test and numbers and underlying numbers wise.
Agreed.
Number 2 is
there's an Arizona tax.
Yes. I am not taking the Arizona Coyotes this year are a lot like the Anaheim Ducks last year, and that I am not taking any results that their players put up in playing in that malaise last year seriously. Simone Benoit was like the worst rated defenseman in the league last year. This year, he's a perfectly fine third pairing defenseman who has given the Leafs everything they could possibly hope for in a stalwart and has really stepped up.
I was going to say he actually hasn't been terrible in spot duty on the second pair.
Exactly.
Either.
Like he's in last year, that was like the worst rated underlying number defenseman in the league, basically. And now we're going, oh, this guy's like 6'5". Obliterates at least one guy every game.
Yeah.
And can play, and in a pinch can play on the second pair. Hell yeah. I don't think Matt Dumba can do all that, especially given the miles on his body and everything at this point. But I don't think he is as bad as his bad underlying numbers suggest, which is negative 0.18 game score. So below replacement, well below. He gives a negative impact on his team. And he's making 3.9 mil this year. So even if they retain 50%, which, I mean, I'm sure Arizona will be fine doing. But then again, they're pretty tight when it comes to actual money.
I can't believe that you think that they're going to retain 50%. I'm trying to, like, hold back my spark right now. They can't pay their vendors for their napkins, Mike. What makes you think they're
everything,
not
Rachel,
pay someone
Rachel,
to play for
Rachel,
another team?
Rachel, everything that we have been told by the team and by its completely unbiased local media is that tickets are selling like hotcakes out there, and that everything is perfectly fine.
So then they should have no issues paying any of their vendors.
Stay strong, Desert Dogs. Everything is fine. Look, the report is they're holding out for a first.
Good luck with that.
Now that Chris Tanev got dealt for what he did, there's no fucking way that they're getting.
Once again, if he goes for a first, that should be an immediate dismissal of your GM.
No, I say it every time. It should not be a dismissal. If you pay a first round pick for this version of Matt Dumba, your GM should be euthanized.
Okay.
Humanely. But he should be put to sleep. Like a sick dog. Like it should, you know.
it's, yeah, like...
Don't Old Yeller him. Don't take him behind the barn and shoot him. But
I'm just going to say that's Mike's opinion.
But just take him to the vet. Say your goodbyes, Marley and me, it, cry, all that kind of stuff. But it's better for all of us, I think. Matt Dumba not having a great year, Rachel, is what I'm trying to say.
No, he is a negative 0.18 game score per game. So That's bad. That is below replacement level.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give up a first round pick for a replacement level player, you should lose your job. If you even entertain the thought of giving up a first round pick for a below replacement level, you're better off just calling up somebody from the minor leagues.
We've been over. They should be euthanized for doing that.
No. Mike's just like wishing death on people.
Should die if they do that.
I am not doing that. Yeah. But no, like you can't give up a first. I don't care. You're better off giving up a first round pick for Adam Henrique.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're better off giving
up. Like, you have one first round pick. Every team gets one first round pick per year.
You're better off giving up a first round pick for a good hockey player opposed to a bad one. Wow.
But what I'm saying is Henrique's a forward.
Yeah.
Dumbo's a defenseman.
Yeah.
So, like, intrinsic value there. But I actually, if I'm going to give up a first round pick, it's going to be for the better hockey player.
Yes, exactly.
Regardless of position.
What can Matt, let's try and spin it positively here. What can Matt Dumba do well? Like, what would a team, you know, let's say he's on the market. If a team is lacking X, what would they should go get Matt Dumba.
Shoots the puck well.
Okay.
He's good in, well, okay. Prior to Arizona.
Yeah.
Good in transition.
Okay.
Both offensively and defensively. I will say this. My evaluation of him this season is difficult because I rely a lot on numbers. And frankly, I'm not being paid to watch Arizona Coyotes hockey. Yeah. And I'm not watching it then.
Take this season away. Like now, I
am going to the Arizona Coyotes,
yes, you are,
Toronto Maple Leafs game on Thursday night. So this, by the time this episode is out, I will have watched Matt Dumba with my own eyeballs.
Hey, who knows? You could be traded before then. Who knows?
Across the hall.
No.
Jesus. I think in the right now, he's not in a position to succeed. Zero players in Arizona are in a position to succeed.
So strike his results from this year from the record. Like, Your Honor, it's
then he's worth a first round pick.
Even last year when he was healthy scratched a couple times?
I think at the beginning of last year, yeah, but not towards the end. That's the problem, is like his value has continued to drop off. And until I see him on a team that he can play in a position he's more suited for, Rasmus Ristolainen's a great example because he's horrendous when Buffalo had him on the first pair. Yeah. On the third pair in Philly, that's fine.
Yeah.
I think Matt Dumba's a lot of the same. On the second pair in Minnesota, no, we cannot have that.
Mm-hmm.
But on a third pair, you can,
yeah,
that's fine. Again, not paying a first round pick for a third pairing defenseman.
So put together a package for him.
I honestly, like,
you're a team that can play him the way he needs to be played to succeed.
Like, oh, I don't know.
You're freaking New Jersey. You need a guy.
Yeah, you're New Jersey. Okay, that's probably a good,
like that.
Good,
I feel like that's a good fit for him.
Yeah. Okay. So
what would you do?
I think you're probably looking at like a third and Graham Clark type of deal. So like a B, maybe B minus prospect.
It's not bad.
And a mid round draft
and like
pick.
A third round pick. That's not bad at all.
Maybe
for
a second, like maybe, but under no circumstances should you be even like, they say we need a first. You're like, click.
Yeah.
Hang up the phone. Goodbye. No.
All right. Well,
like
someone,
not even hang it up. Like, I'd actually hit that button on the thingy.
Yeah. Because you're making another call. You don't even want to put the phone down because you're making another call to call another person to talk about how fucking stupid the last person who called you was.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Alexander Carrier, someone who I'm actually very interested in at this deadline.
So I actually don't think he's on the market right now.
Oh, well, because Nashville's doing a bit better than they thought they would, even though they had their U2 concert canceled by the team.
That might be why they're doing better.
Yeah, because they couldn't hear It's a Beautiful Day surrounded by psychedelic lights in Vegas. And so they thought, guys, we got to pull together. This is bad.
It's bad.
We need to see Bono and The Edge play. And we weren't able to do that. So we got to pull it together.
Yeah, Alexander Carrier, if he is available, I think that's a. I think he's one of the most underrated defensemen in the league.
Wow,
he's tough.
High praise.
He skates well. He could shoot the puck. He can penalty kill. Like, he's very well rounded. And because Nashville has other defensemen, i.e., Roman Josi, I think he gets overlooked a little bit, right? There was huge conversations about Dante Fabro. Back in the day, there were conversations about Ryan Ellis and God knows whatever. They're a defenseman factory over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Alex Carrier would be a great, like, if I'm Edmonton, that's who I'm trying to get, right? And there's another one. Matthias Ekholm used to play in Nashville. Like, they're really good at manufacturing defensemen. Yeah.
This is someone the Leafs should be going after hard. I'm not sure. I don't know, have the information if they have.
Yeah, if I'm Edmonton, New Jersey, Toronto, this is a positive impact player who can play in all situations, can actually play in the top four.
Yeah. Well, I mean, borderline based on game score.
Right, but he's, like, we're talking about top 4 minutes on a bottom-end playoff team. Like, those are pretty decent results. I think you put him with a high-end defenseman, and you can have something there, right? So if you're in Edmonton, let's say, you can play Ekholm, Bouchard, and then you got to play Carrier with
Nurse.
Nurse, maybe. Yeah. And Carrier Nurse sounds a lot better than Nurse CeCe. And if you can move CeCe to the third pair, that's where CeCe's much better off. Mm-hmm. Rasmus Ristolainen again.
Yeah.
Like, that is where we're at with these guys. And so I think if you're an Edmonton, a Toronto, a New Jersey, and you actually want a player that can step in your lineup and have a positive impact, I think Alex Carrier is the guy that you give up assets for.
Cool. All right. Well, another guy, Ilya Lyubushkin.
I would not go anywhere near him.
Now, this is where, you know,
I think he's terrible.
Okay, well, this is where I guess sort of my caveman brain, you know, comes in. I go,
well, I'm really glad, because he's getting caved in.
Oh, nice one. I really liked him when he came to Toronto. I know he did get caved in Toronto as well, but he did throw the boom every once in a while.
Cool, that's what Simone Benn was for.
Yes, exactly. However, Ilya Lyubushkin provides, like, precisely zero offense. Like, he has four assists.
He also provides
year.
Precisely zero defense this year.
Well, he makes 2.75 mil. He's a pending UFA. He's 11th in blocked shots.
He's also the 17th worst defenseman in the NHL this year that has played more than 10 games. There are AHL defensemen that have better results than him this year.
Hey, man. There's 16 worse than him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all except two are currently in the AHL. So that's where we're at there.
Another guy, though, plays on the Ducks. I don't know how.
Radko Gudas has good defensive metrics this year. I'm not buying that with the Ducks this year.
Not this year. Yeah.
So, no, he's terrible. And if you give up.
Someone will give up something for
any
him.
Assets more than, like, a fifth.
He'll get a third. I'll put a crisp $10
bill. I'm not saying he won't. I'm saying you're a dumbass if you do.
I'm going to put a crisp $10 bill.
I'm just going to say this. The Stanley Cup winning team doesn't have Ilya Lyubushkin in their lineup. He's their 7th or 8th D.
Damn.
That's where Chris Tanev is playing for the Dallas Stars. Yeah. He's going to bump Thomas Harley down to the second pair. Like, what are we doing? It's crazy.
This is the lack of assets available. This is what I'm telling you.
Lyubushkin is an eighth defenseman on the cup winning team. Like, this is insanity.
This will be very interesting this week, because potentially it will lead teams to believing deciding whether or not they are actually going to sell or they are going to go for it towards a late season push. All right. Joel Edmondson. This is where we're scraping the bottom of the barrel, Rachel. 30 years old, 1 goal, 4 assists, 5 points, 16, 19 in average time on ice this year. Pending UFA at 1.75 mil, negative 0.1 game score. Doesn't exactly help possession, but he's a veteran.
Who cross-checks people in front of the net.
Cross-checks people in front of the net. He's big.
Yeah, but I'm told that that's a 5-game suspension now. It's not. Who are we kidding? It's not. I also, once again, he has 5 points, you said?
Yep.
He's a third-pairing defenseman who's getting caved in.
With no offense. Someone will give up a fourth round pick for him. I'm betting, I literally bet New Jersey will pay a fourth round pick for this guy.
This is Tom Fitzgerald's archetype.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing.
We talked about
Nick Seeler. Phenomenal player this year. Like for what he's definitely for what
phenomenal.
He's
phenomenal. He's the best third pairing defenseman available. Far like him and Sean Walker just acquired.
He's
them.
One of the best third pairing defensemen in the league. Like
that's
he's,
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's like just across
that
the board.
That might be the best third pair in the league.
Yeah. But he's and it's also like one of the best contracts in the league. He's a penny UFA. Yes. He's making $775,000 this year.
When I say best pairing in the league, like I'm not talking players. I'm talking
like
for
value.
What you're paying. You are getting the best value for that.
It's
pair.
Like what 3.35 or something that they're paying combined, like less than 3.5.
Exactly.
And here you go.
And you've got teams paying bottom pairing defenseman $5 million. Get out of here.
Pretty.
You can have Sean Walker and Nick Seeler, or you can have Matt Dumba.
Exactly. Yeah. Leads league.
Cool.
He leads the league in block shots, like you said. Obviously, solid PK guy. 0.56 game score, and we talked about how if you're 0.6, you're likely a top four guy. He's inching towards potentially a top four guy.
I think part of the reason, though, is because he's been heavily sheltered.
Yeah. But look, good teams, they're like if you're a good contending team at the deadline, you're looking for that missing piece. You're looking for like the reinforcement. You're not looking for
I think appropriate value here is probably like a third round pick.
Yeah. Like if you're a contending team at the deadline, you're going in for a transplant of a minor organ. You're not going in for a heart transplant, you know? Like
yeah,
this
or
guy,
lung transplant.
Exactly. This
or
guy's like
kidney.
This guy's like, I don't know, like a gallbladder maybe? Like
no, you're getting like a nose job.
It's good. Hey man. It's all the rage these days. You're getting a BBL.
A BBL, yeah.
Exactly.
You're getting a BBL.
If you get
well, he does have a big booty
exactly.
in front of the net.
If you get Seeler and Walker, you're getting a BBL. Like they're both cheeks of the BBL.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, and someone who we actually don't know if they will be available just because there's been some rumors that, you know, he wants to stay. He's from there. David Savard.
Yeah, Arpon Basu talked about it
yeah.
On Wednesday after the Tanev deal went through that, well, we'll see kind of what happens now with David Savard. He is French-Canadian, and we all know what that means in Montreal. And if you don't think that means something, I have a bridge to sell you.
I felt dour baguette.
One of the worst defensemen in the league this year. Him and Ilya Lyubushkin. Boy howdy. Not good. It's not good.
I'm picturing a team like the Suicide Squad being like, I'm putting together a team.
So he's got a negative game score. He gets absolutely caved in possession-wise. Him and Lyubushkin, two of the worst in league when it comes to this stuff. He has a year remaining at $3.5 million, but he blocks shots.
Hey, that's an important skill to have in the playoffs.
Not a $3.5 million skill.
Maybe you retain. It's 1.75.
For you still have to play him. He's the word. Like when I say he's getting caved in, I don't have it off the top of my head, but I believe this morning I saw like he's like in the low 40s when we talk about getting caved in, and he's had games in the 30s. That is not
yikes
what you need on a cup winning team. Once again, if you're acquiring David Savard,
euthanization.
That is your eighth defenseman
mm-hmm.
In a sport where you play six every night. So he's an injury replacement. Cool. Not giving up whatever that acquisition cost may be. If it's a fifth, sure. And you're also retaining half. Like maybe I'd consider a fourth. Or like whatever, some prospect that maybe you don't think you're going to sign. That happens a ton. If a team doesn't think they're going to sign a prospect, then they'll trade them.
Yeah, just to get something.
Just to get, yeah, like anything for him. So yeah, sure. Like, go ahead, be my guest. But yeah, you shouldn't be trading like second and first round picks for this guy. Like, are you nuts? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. They will not be trading.
So the defensive market this year is
it's pretty tough. It
weird.
Could get better depending on what happens with teams deciding to sell.
Right. Like if St. Louis decides they want to sell and like maybe Justin Falk becomes
I don't know,
available.
Or like, who even like maybe they're like, all right, let's sell, let's reboot this. We're gonna give up, like we're gonna put Buchnevich and Parayko on the market. boom, that
Yay!
Changes.
There
that
we
changes
go.
A
better.
Lot. That changes a lot.
Borrego's had a rough couple years.
But he's having a lot better this year.
But he's doing a lot better this year. Yeah, like I think.
This is the time where you sell on him. Right now, honestly,
if Mario Ferraro comes back and he's available,
exactly,
that's a little bit better.
That'd be huge, you know. I know that it's not a defenseman, but like, you know, obviously we talked about it with Jesse Mar.
Or if Jacob Chychrun decides,
if the Sens decide to really gut stuff,
and they move Jacob Chychrun, like
that's
he's
huge.
We're talking Hanifin level. Like then we're like, okay,
all right,
now we're moving
there,
and shaking, and James Duthie. To bring it right back to where we started.
Yeah, he's not, you know.
He won't be petting llamas at the TSN studios in Scarborough.
Well, he's not just standing on the edge of a skyscraper, you know, looking at longingly at the concrete below.
There we go.
Yeah. And on that note, we reach the end of the podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, you know, subscribe on YouTube, on Twitch, on TikTok. Anywhere you can get your pods, we are there. Write us a review. It'd be nice. Also, before you leave as well, make sure to donate to Jumpstart, our charity of choice. Jumpstart helps economically disadvantaged kids play team sports, which is extremely important and a cause that is very, very near and dear to Rachel and I's hearts. So make sure to do that. All the links will be in the description. We have new Mike's Meals for One that's up. It's a fried chicken sandwich. So if you're lonely and you like fried chicken, check it out. And yeah, we will be back on Monday. Who knows how many of these names will be traded by then, but if they are, we will obviously break them down for you. See you later.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.